morning, everyone. It's Burns with Benefits, and it is the 6th of May, 2020. It's good to be back. The break was not intentional. I mean, it's never intentional. There was like some downtime and then global pandemic. And like, you know, the option for doing Zoom stuff is kind of always there, but, you know, I don't always think that they're the greatest ways of doing it. But I knew with today's guest, we could do it and kill it as well. And in terms of sound quality and stuff, I got her to record her audio and then shoot it across to me. And yes, I said her. We're breaking up the sausage fest today. But before we get to that, today's episode and all the episodes are sponsored by Wordistry. And Wordistry is simply a service to get you on track with your digital marketing content, Google Ads, and all that sort of stuff. And now everyone's buying everything online. The whole internet is just, you know, it's a fire sale. So you want to get amongst that and you want your stuff to be seen. So you should hit up Wordistry to help get in that first page of Google and, you know, actually appear in a Facebook feed. So go to www.wordistry.com.au. Today's guest is Shelley Lask. Shelley Lask. That's right. And Shelley is a body positive fitness trainer, former professional Thai kickboxer, and in a sense, the catalyst for this podcast. Like, Shelley is a student of mine, but has since become a good friend of mine and my boxing coach. And we've always done our lessons over Skype and what have you. And one lesson in particular, you know, we got to chatting afterwards and we went up having this just epic long discussion. And I sort of found myself thinking afterwards that it's like, gee, I wish I recorded that, because it was just this super productive discussion that we had. And I thought, you know, this is something that people could find interesting or useful. So it's not to say that, like, I think, you know, people just need to hear how right we are about stuff. But, you know, it's proven over time this podcast is useful to see where you're wrong about things too. Like, if you put it out there, you have to be ready for that. So, you know, whether you, maybe you're a bit off, maybe someone disagrees with you, or you're just downright wrong. Like, people who listen to this regularly might remember there was an episode I did called The Addendum where, you know, I went out of my way to correct myself on a few things. Like, you know, there was a bit of misinformation that found its way in, or there was just stuff that was incorrect. And, you know, and most of the media doesn't really bother doing that. Even like today's episode, like, I was listening to it and there was like some, there was a few things in there which, you know, I could have clarified a bit better, or maybe just, you know, I wasn't 100% on after further reflection. But, you know, like, if I had to go through that kind of, put every single conversation through that kind of scrutiny, just nothing would ever get released, you know. So, like, don't at me. Anyways, this conversation I thought was great. Like, we talked about why, you know, I should be watching Tiger King, and a case for working from home and living in isolation. And then we get onto the self-defense thing and avoiding getting into fights and, you know, a bunch of other things. In fact, I think it was just that. But you know what? It was a great chat anyway. And I look forward to doing many more. Anyway, here is Shelley. Enjoy.
We got a messenger like we normally do.
Yeah, sorry.
Like you did the last failed podcast.
Yeah, sorry, Mr. Cool Rob. I was over here in the future using Zoom.
What's on your mug?
So this is one of Elise's mugs. It's like a it's a Harry Potter mug, and it's have you seen the movies?
No,
they're not bad.
No,
they're not like
no.
I'm not going to give you the what are you talking about, because, like, you know, I haven't read any of the books.
Oh, good.
And I'm not like a gnarly.
I feel like 90% of my life is people going, what do you mean you haven't seen XYZ?
Yeah, it's busy living my life.
But I'm sure they're good, but like all the things that I love, no one else.
Have you heard of, have you heard of women's rights? Like, it's like, what do you mean you haven't heard of women's rights? Like, fair point. But those things don't end. Cause like I've caught up on like most things, But, you know, I don't think I'll ever watch Tiger King. Like, the longer it's... Have you seen it?
Yeah, I watched it early in lockdown, like right near the start. And it served exactly its purpose for me,
yep.
Which was I watched a couple of episodes of it before bed. And then one morning I woke up and I started watching it in bed before getting up for work. And that was the first morning that I hadn't opened all the new sites and hit refresh.
Yeah.
So it was actually good to be like, other things can hold my brain's attention besides we're all going to die. So I'm grateful to it for that. That was honestly like the first morning out of so many. But now that I've watched it, I'm not like, gosh, can't wait to rewatch it. God, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
But it served its purpose at the time.
Oh, fair enough. I was thinking about like, because, you know, we had our last ill-fated podcast and we sort of did like...
yeah,
we
did like checking the, on.
And we did like the...
Still going.
Yeah, oh, good. like the... And we did like the big, you know, corona rant thing, which is like...
Yeah.
Which is like, that's like so... You know, March, you know, which is ironic because we just had a big, which is funny because we just had a big talk about Tiger King as well. But like,
oh yeah, just delete this out of
yeah, that's all right.
The edit.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah, I haven't watched Tiger King yet. Anyway, coronavirus again. But, but, and I thought, you know, there was like that moment where it's like, you know, well, you know, that was like, you know, that was a good chat, but, you know, that's, you know, been done to death. But at the same time, it's just like, the thing is still going. It's like, you know, should yeah. it's like should I really be like, you know, rolling my eyes at like that, you know, should we be feeling like less ire for that behavior? I mean, granted, the situation has changed quite a bit. Like you look at it, you really see like when you talk about like say new cases and things, it's like it's very stark now. And usually when you're looking things up, you're looking at like say national figures and stuff. So all those little bumps at the bottom as it's tailing off, it's just like New South Wales. Like
for the most part. Well, we had a bunch of new cases overnight that got found.
In Victoria, but
it was the first like double digits, which I mean what a blessing it is that it's only double digits, but new spike, but also we ramped up our testing.
Oh, yeah, we shut,
like that super duper.
Yeah, big time.
So it's like, yep, that sounds right. That doesn't sound like things are more alarming as an epidemiologist. That's my hot take.
It's mind-blowing, though, to hear, like, if you listed, like, say, anything American-based, you know, they'll be like, oh, you know, there's been, like, only 55,000 deaths in the US.
It's right? Like,
that is... an enormous amount of people, like,
yeah,
like just that's
it's,
and it's weird. Like my attitude is like sort of adjusted a little bit. Like today, I saw someone post some like silly meme, and it was just kind of like, I'm trying to think about just the best way to describe it, but it was just kind of like. It was like the, you know, I think the point it was making was just like easy for people, you know, most people to say stay at home and stay safe versus the business owners and essential workers who, you know, what their experience is. And I'm kind of at that, like, say a month or 6 weeks ago, I would have looked at and been like, you know, come on, bloke, this is really serious, rah-rah. But I look at that now and I'm just like, fuck, these business owners have to be really hurting right now. Really, really hurting. Like, you know, especially given that, like, this whole, like, JobKeeper thing is, like, quite spurious in a lot of ways. It seems to be serving big business more so than smaller business. You know, even I was speaking to a mate the other day. He lost his job. Like, he can't get it because he got sacked, like, 3 days before they actually introduced or whatever, like, the deadline was. And it's just like...
Yeah.
It was like so obvious why this guy got sacked, and just because the timing was, you know, just good enough for the boss, he's fucked. And so it's I've kind of cooled off a bit. I mean, firstly for my own sanity too. Like I just had to. And you saw like when I was like sort of following like the you know, like Luke Thomas losing his fucking mind over, you know, UFC trying to schedule fights during this whole thing, and even following him getting to his breaking point where he's just like, like, you know, I've done my best, you know, and you know, no one's listening. Yeah. So, you know, so, and granted, it's, I mean, if anyone, if it would still be reasonable to be like yelling at people about how they're behaving during a pandemic, it's in the US because like,
yeah,
it's like, it is, it's not the problem that it is here. Like if you had a more relaxed attitude now, like even now I'm just kind of like, probably anything other than like say pubs and things like that. It's just like, because it's like, say like you could go back to say restaurants in a couple of weeks and you sort of have say tables far apart, like, yeah, you know, staff need to be say like certified that they've been tested, things like that, you know, you, yeah, you know, if like, you know, we've, the amount of conversations we've had about this stuff and how serious we take it, even I'm like, we probably should do that like as soon as possible, you know, or at least like in the next say even just week or two, because like, you know, with this thing, like a week makes a huge difference. But you know, but even like, and this is like as a musician, like, you know, like, you know, I make a lot of, you know, extra money from like doing these gigs and stuff. So, but
yeah,
even I'm just like I'm seeing people rescheduling shows in like 1,000 cap venues for October, in, you know, October, November, December. It's like, I mean, unless you're just trying to get in, like, you know, get in early in case they say ease off the restrictions in September and you've already got your dates booked, you're ahead of the game. Yeah, I could see that, but. Yeah.
There are so many things that I'm seeing where I'm like, that's not going to happen. Like, we're not going to ease off these restrictions and life goes back to exactly how it was. Like, things are going to have to be done differently. And there's, I think there'll be a lot of ins and outs with things. Like, I was talking to somebody about her workplace and how they're going to set that up. And she was saying that they sent all of their office equipment to everybody's homes, because you can work on a laptop in a cafe for an hour, but you can't work 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, you know, in a not good setup and those sorts of things. Like, there are things that have to give. So everyone got their office chairs and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
But then when people go back to work, do they take all the furniture back? But then if someone gets the COVID app saying you've been in contact with someone, so you have to go into ISO for 14 days, do they send stuff back to them? Do they provide something for home for when that happens? Like, there's so much, there's going to be a fair bit of back and forth of things, and that's going to need some infrastructure around it. Like, I don't think anything, even like, you know, like when restaurants will reopen up, but it won't be back to everyone crammed, you know, super tight together again. So there are going to be all of those changes, but where, some people seem to be, I'll do a 1,000 people thing in a few months. Really low.
Good luck, bloke, But even like,
especially just with the back and forth that will create of,
They just got to like, and also just, it's like just another really good argument for like, you know, having some sort of mandate for encouraging work from home just from now on. Like, if you want to like ease traffic, ease pollution, increase job satisfaction, just there's like every reason to do it, other than like the only argument I've heard is just managers will feel uncomfortable. And it's just like, just, I don't see how like focusing on a worker's output over their input, like how input is more valuable than output. Like, you know, it's like,
you're, I think,
go on.
No, go.
No, that was it.
Fine.
Maybe.
Oh, okay. The stuff that I've heard that complicates it is that it's going to be, if you're in a white collar job at a certain level, you're going to have a lot more options for working from home.
Yeah,
that's than a lot of other people. And even in a, you know, in an office situation, admin might have to go in so that it's centralized, but the people basically on the higher pay can work from home, and that's a bit.
Yeah, I mean, difficult. I guess the way I sort of thought, like the way you could present it is, if there's like, you know, you introduce a thing where it's like, if it can be proven that this job can be executed at the exact same standard from home as in the building, then you should be eligible to, like, you know, to be able to work from home. Or you know, you sort of meet the bosses halfway and go, look, this person gets, you know, they're allowed to choose. So, you know, you don't enforce it, but they're allowed to choose either whether or not they can work from home or even just like a few days. Like, it's amazing what, you know, what kind of difference, you know, that can make. Because, yeah, I do not see an argument against that general thing, you know, aside from like, oh, man,
it'd be such a game changer for so many people.
And even for people who aren't on the receiving end of it as well. But yeah, I haven't heard anything outside of just like, you know, bureaucrats, you know, will throw a tizzy. It's just like, shut up. Like, you know.
And I think, well, and a lot of what's crap about working from home at the moment for a lot of people is their kids are at home with them. But
yes,
that won't be the case going forward.
Yeah. And also like, and that's why, so like, then, and there's a lot of people who prefer to go into work, you know, that's why you would present it as like, as a choice.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot, and there's a lot of like big, like, you know, a lot of the big sort of more like forward thinking, like tech companies
tech.
are moving towards that model, and they're becoming increasingly, you know, just, it's becoming just more efficient overall, you know, especially when you can have like, you know, just the communication becomes like more fluid than go find this guy.
Yep.
So it's, one, I think
you're saving on real estate costs.
Yeah. So I guess once especially that. So, you know, so maybe I guess once it becomes like, you know, the good financial decision to make, you know, then, you know, people will jump on it. But yeah.
Do you think there becomes a thing of like, whether it's harder to develop workplace culture and those sorts of things? I mean, it seems like something that's easy enough to get around probably.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, people are doing, like, the Zoom drinks, you know, the after-work drinks and stuff, and, like, to me, it's just like, I mean, unless you really dig your co-workers, I mean, it doesn't even have, like, and it kind of has to be at that level. It's not even, like, if you dislike your co-workers. It's just like, when my work is done, I want to go live my life, hey.
Well, yeah, when I used to work in an office, free alcohol was cool, but also, sort of, I've seen these people, like, I like the people that I worked with, but you've seen them all week.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you spend more time with them than like most other people. So more time.
Yeah,
like,
I'm really scratching to find any kind of reason why it's
like, what's,
wouldn't be better,
like,
if we do it.
You know, you only need workplace culture because everyone's like stuck in the same building together. So yeah, you need it. So, but when it just becomes like this, you know, this free-flowing exchange of data. Well, assuming it's free-flowing. But, like, but yeah, when it just becomes that, it's kind of just not even part of the equation. It's just like, I need this thing, give me this thing. And it's just text.
Yeah.
So do you really need culture after that? You know, you would, so you would certainly get a lot more people, less people fucking off. Like, whatever.
My friend said this morning, we're talking about the whole, you know, there's some places doing an office in the box concept where they basically, they just send you a computer and a phone. And she said, well, what even is an office besides a computer, a phone, and a bitch?
Yeah.
like there's always one person at work that, like, you know, is just a pain in your ass. And
yeah, it's like these people, like, you know, I hear these stories, you know, everyone has all these stories or have their own stories, where it's just like, it's, this stuff has to take fucking years off your life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It almost seems weird to talk about in the sense that it's just, it's like super obvious, you know?
Yeah. And it seems like one of those, like, this sounds very idyllic or whatever, but like reimagining the workplace, but you know, we're kind of doing it. It turns out, lots of people can work from home. Someone told me a story about one of their colleagues, and, you know, he's always working these really long days and has this big commute. And instead of doing the commute home, he's been going for a walk with his teenage sons that he doesn't usually get to see so much of because he's at work. And he's walking for like an hour a day with his kids, and he's like, cool, I'm like, you know, way healthier, I'm getting this quality time with my family, I'm still getting the same amount of work done, and he's facing down going back to work, like, oh, like, this is...
It's fucking gross.
When I say going back to work, going back to an office.
wasting all that money.
And suddenly hyper aware of the fact of like, oh, this is what this could be. Like, there's no good reason for him to go there other than that it's the dumb thing and that's coming back and that's, you know. Yeah, that sort of stuff is full on. Like, just that commute time that is nothing time when everyone is constantly time poor and blah, blah, blah. It would be really hard to make an argument that, yeah, sorry, guy, you have to go back to the office and stop doing this.
That really bummed me out.
Really. Yeah, it was really sad.
Because, like, the end of that story is that, like, he's going to have to go back to work and...
And what he was actually missing, she told me, was that in the evenings after work, they would usually be doing networking stuff with clients, you're taking them out to dinners, you're doing all of this stuff.
Yep.
So he was drinking a lot more, he was having sort of, you know, not having home-cooked food, all of those kinds of things. And just this dramatic change to like, oh, now he's got time to cook dinner, go for a walk with his family, all of these things. And he's, because there aren't these networking things. I don't know how that looks in the future, but he was just hearing this story was like, well, this person's life in the pandemic was, you know, socially, emotionally, physically healthier than what he was doing. And he was still getting the work done. It's pretty huge.
Fuck. Oh, man. I pray that, like, he can make something out of that. Like, he can just go back and present a case and just be like, we have to work something out here because,
yeah,
you know, this is good for everyone. But, like, I remember that I was thinking about, you know, you sent me that article a while ago about, like, the stage three thing or the phase three thing.
Yeah.
At first, it was like, which is like that article on sort of the different stages that people go through in, like, isolation, like people stationed in Antarctica and space stations and stuff. And, like, when I was, like, reading it, it was kind of like, part of it was like sort of obvious sort of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And other parts of it, like, come on, we're not stationed in fucking Antarctica. But it's like, but also like, just I've sort of been, it keeps like popping up in my head. Like, I've been, you know, milling on it a bit. And the bit was like that I was really, that I've been noticing a little bit more is like in that stage three thing is like the paranoia thing. And it's not like, cause you know, and it's something that gets like, you know, amplified in movies, you know, big time with those cabin fevers type scenarios. And you sort of think of paranoia in those sort of terms. Like when people think about like, you know, being paranoid, it's like always this really exacerbated manic kind of like, you know, being watched or like those kind of things. But it can just be like, just, you know, casting negative aspersions on things where, you know, where they're otherwise not at every turn. Like, you're just putting that same lens on everything. And I reckon I'm sort of starting to like just sort of experience it, you know, quite heavily. And a lot of it is like that sort of that thing about like the so like just that biggest problem with social media with like, well, not so much, just, or just at least online communication where it's just like, you, how do you read into like text, people's texts, you know, like just, you know, what they're trying to convey. And, you know, everyone's had like those arguments that did not need to happen because, you know, just someone just mapped whatever horrible thing on top of whatever written thing, you know. And I'm just sort of noticing the pattern now of just how I'm reading into certain stuff, or at least I'm sort of having to like just, you know, I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. Things are weird. Things are weird. I mean, I sort of, you know, my knee was playing up a bit, which means I'm not training as much, which means mood. Like, there's that too. I have to like do some weights today to, you know, get back on the good foot. So that alone, it might just go away after that. But yeah, just sort of, there's just a bad vibe around everything. And I'm pretty sure it's more, and then I sort of noticed it. I sort of yeah, linked it back to that thing in that article. I'm like, it's got to be that, right? Because like the more you sort of speak to or communicate with people, like it happens every time where you sort of, you have like a, or even just a weird exchange with someone online and then you finally talk to them in person. And it's like, even within just the first moments of the exchange in like, actual words, it's like you feel that previous conversation just dissipate, you know, yeah. within seconds. And yeah.
So much of it, like this is the cheesiest thing ever, but you know, so much of our communication is not just words.
Yeah, there is
so much. Do you know what I mean? But I feel like it's a little bit like me and my pre-COVID, because now I don't really get in the car, but when you're driving and you can't see the person's face, so you just assume this dickhead Astra just cut in front of me because they're like, oh, I'm important. Whereas in actual fact, they, you know, if you saw their face, you'd probably notice them vaguing out or like possibly crying about something they're on the way home from or whatever it is. And if you saw any of those things, you'd be less reactive. But you just see this car and you just describe, okay, you, I, this is entirely me, but it just describes the worst possible motive. And
oh, yeah, no, us. You know, where it's like, if it's early enough and, you know, and I'm, you know, missed the wrong meal and it's that person in front of me, it's just like, oh, you know. You know, you're just picturing like the worst, you know, the all the kinds of machinery of torture that you're willing to impart on them.
rapidly change personality.
Yeah.
One thing that I, this is sort of relevant and sort of not, because I think because we're seeing less people, whatever people and actions we're seeing get weighted more heavily as well. So for me, and I've been in isolation a little bit longer because I got sick early, so I think I went into that.
You had isolation.
Actually,
here's a good way to really like convey it. So in that time, firstly, how many days was it? Was it the full 14?
The first time I got sick, I had to wait till 10 days after symptoms, was what the COVID hotline people told me.
Uh-huh.
So I did that.
So
and then I was just with everybody else.
Okay, so let's say in that 10 days, how many times did you open your front door?
Oh, never. I had to stay in my apartment.
Yeah. So you literally never opened your front door in that time?
No.
Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, no, wait, that's not true. I opened it twice because people had brought things and I collected them once they'd gone from
So not even your full body.
But did
Yeah, like so, like maybe an arm would have reached out to grab something that was on the ground, but your full body wouldn't even cross that threshold.
Nah.
But in that first
10 days, though. So I'd been sick before that and then I was better and then I just had to wait the time. I don't even know if I was given the correct advice, but that was the advice I was given. So I was like, all right. For me, in that initial stage, it was novel, and also the way that I respond to things that are like bad things happening in the initial phase is to go into this like hyper constructive, like I'm full of adrenaline. And so at that time I was also very, very worried about everything that was going on. And I just got this huge burst of like, at that time I was like, my mental health has never been better. I am, you know, I'm like, I've got time to spare. If you want to call me because you're having a bad time, I'm here to listen. I'm going to organize this. I'm going to da, 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 da. I was filming videos. I was like, I'm going to do this. I did the whole big transition of all my work stuff online. And it was good. It took longer for it to really go down. And for me, it was when I was allowed to go out for a walk. And then I was able to go out for walks and I hadn't been around people. And then people weren't staying 1.5 meters away. No one was moving out of the way when I was walking down the street, any of those things. So I was always having to go out onto the road. And so the only interactions I was having were these
everyone's the worst
unpleasant interactions and feeling like no one cares about, no one's trying here. Or is it that people just think that I don't deserve the respect of being moved out the way for? Like, because that is a thing that sometimes happens when I'm walking around, that people will assume I'll be the one to yield, and, you know, they're like, yeah, so I'm going to continue holding hands with my partner and you can just walk on the road. Like, and in normal situations, you can just walk straight into them, but you don't really get the virus just to prove a point.
You can violently break their grip. Get over yourselves.
So I got so, like, oh my gosh, this was better when I was staying in my house. People are the worst. Like, and that really upset me. And then I was seeing, you know, my neighbor had somebody over. I was only seeing these bad things that people were doing. And so then I was like, this is fucked.
I went through that thing where, like, yeah, you just had those goggles on the whole time where it was just like, how does what this person is doing fit within what they should be doing in this, you know, COVID thing, you know? And it's brutal.
That was what tanked me for a good while. And I just kind of noticed there was that time I posted about it because I went to the pharmacy and the pharmacist was like, oh, hey, Shelley, which I was like, I can't believe they know who I am. That's really nice. Because I always tell them my name when I've got my scripts there because I just assume they won't remember, which is very reasonable. It's a busy pharmacy. And I, you know, told him what I needed and he helped me out. And I was like, you know, how are you doing? And he was like, oh, just honestly trying to smile and keep going so I don't burst into tears. This is a lot. And I was like, yeah. And then I went home and I was kind of like, now my one in two interactions today with humans have been lovely.
Yeah.
like everything was so heavily weighted. I'd only seen in the, like, you know, little walk that I'd done, people mostly doing the wrong thing, I just assumed everyone's doing the wrong thing and we're screwed, and it was really scary. You know, people do take the social distancing thing. Different people take it more seriously than others. And I guess that's something that they've allowed for. But that just, I found that stuff hard.
I've definitely seen, like, whenever I say, like, gone for a bit of a walk, people sort of, you know, or even if you start moving, I mean, you know, like, your area, you know, might be different. But, yeah, like, you know, sometimes it's like you'll start moving, and it's like the other person, it'll be, you almost see this, like, they'll start moving as well, almost like, oh yeah. Like, you know, there was a ripper one where, like, I was walking down, like, I was like taking, like, sort of a back alley to grab some stuff, and I was like walking through it, and there was like two people having a discussion, but, like, you know, you could tell they were sort of like, it was like an ISO catch up, but they were like on other ends of it was like the alleyway that, like, a car could fit down, you know. So it wasn't like a tight sort of alleyway, and they were like, they were very much like deliberately trying to keep, like, a distance from each other. And even like, and I was like sort of walked straight down the middle, and they just, like, parted back even further, you know. And it was just cool, all right, yeah, people sort of acknowledging this.
That has not been my experience at all. And I think someone has moved out of the way for me maybe twice.
Fuck.
And the rest of the time it's been me doing all the moving. But that checks out fairly well with my pre-COVID experience. And something that some of my friends have also said, one of my friends did a thing where she went out and she was like, I'm going to count who moves out the way for me. And it was zero men moved out the way for her.
Oh, great.
there is a theory about this playing chicken thing that it is expected that women will yield, that's the unsaid thing. And that will obviously not always be true and all of those sorts of things.
That's probably pre-COVID as well.
Oh, that's 100%. Yeah. This is not COVID related.
Yeah. Oh, wait. When she did this test, this was pre-COVID.
She did this now, but also I've had this discussion with other people.
Oh, okay.
I've seen it written about and stuff like this pre-COVID.
Yep.
But she did it during COVID when she was doing her walks, and her daughter did it as well and was like, hmm. So at the time I was like, if I looked more intimidating, if people were more worried by me, they'd move out the way. And, you know, probably that wasn't what's going on. Probably people were just didn't think that social distancing applies if you just go past for a moment on the street or whatever. And some people clearly don't care about social distancing at all.
And like all of those things, you know, all it's like D all the above, you know, like as far as what it could be. Like all of them are like equally as, you know, whether it's like, you know, oblivious, you know, weird unconscious bias, deliberate disregard for social distancing, like all those things are like, you know, fairly equally weighted.
And they all were all things that that just made me feel shit about my community.
And like,
every time I was going out around people, I was just seeing people. And then there was that woman that I was going to go back into my house, and there was a woman out the front of my house walking her dog on a leash on the sidewalk. So I had to go on the road to get around. And I said, oh, you're welcome. As I went past,
yeah.
Like, piss off. And I was
what a response. What a response.
Right?
Who does that?
Right?
It's like them, like them's fighting words. Like,
right?
Like, which, and right? Like, and that's like, you know, and that's like we've had a few chats about this in the past. Like, that's one of those situations where like, that person had no idea that you like lived in Thailand and competed, you know, in kickboxing. Like you've elbowed people in the face. Like that's one of those moments where it's like you had no idea how close you came. But it's like, you know, that whole discussion of like, you know, don't fuck with people because you don't know.
Yeah.
And
but this is why sometimes I wish I looked more intimidating, so that people would treat me with more respect. Do you know what, like, so I told this to this guy I was talking to, and he was like, well, I'm 6 foot and huge, and that never, people always move out of my way. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I mean, I just do it anyway. Like, it's, you know, like I was saying the other day about like some of these, like certain discussions with people who sort of like impose themselves in the discussion, where it's like, you, particularly if they're people you know and you already know what you're dealing with, where it's like, I'm just not even going to really talk because, you know, I'm just going to let them go, because whenever I say something, you're going to tell me why I'm wrong. And I just don't care that much, you know, when it's like, when this person is just trying to get whatever it is that they need out of the conversation, it's just like, oh, well, you know, far away. And it's, it's kind of the same with those very fleeting kind of interactions. Because what are you going to do, bump into them? It's like, fucking what, mate? Like,
is that
is that the response? Because, like,
that is a response that's off the table besides in my, like, fantasy life.
Yeah, where you win every fight and there's no consequences and people and think you're like, awesome for doing it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. People are clapping out their windows. Appropriate response, Shelley. Well done. We have even more respect for you now.
Yeah.
but basically this shitstorm was going on in my head that about things that were currently, I feel like I've kind of come out of the worst headspace that I was in with all of this stuff. And at the moment, I'm like, people are mostly doing the right thing. People are exhausted. The cognitive load is really high, blah, 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 blah. But at that particular time, I just hadn't been around people. I'd been reading all these, you know, legitimately alarming things about what was going on. Seeing what was going on in America was really deeply upsetting. Then a few dickheads on the street was enough to just send me into a not good place, whereas I feel like I've kind of come out of that now, and I'm feeling much more optimistic, and I'm seeing some of the really good creative things people are doing and all this, and I'm a bit more Pollyanna about it all.
Well, now, I can't remember if you told, if, like, I mean, you probably told me, but like when she said it was like, you know, piss off, what, like, did you respond to that, or you just kept walking?
I was already like walking into my little bit. Like, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, like you didn't.
I don't think I said anything.
Yeah.
I don't think I even turned around. But I instead spent 2 hours raging about it in my apartment. So it was like, cool, this is negatively affecting my mental health. Like,
yeah, yeah.
This lady's moved on with her day.
Rather negatively affecting her physical health.
Yeah.
As it should.
But at the moment, I'm feeling far better about everything, and I feel like I'm sort of adjusting into things now and all of that sort of stuff. And I'm way less on edge. I'm sleeping properly, all of those sorts of things.
Mm.
And now I'm looking at things, like I can even look back and be like, yeah, that lady would have just been, as I was at that time, like we were all just so tightly wound and dealing with so much crap that everything's just, like everyone is on a short fuse.
Mm. Yeah, and it's like, so, I wonder if like, imagine if say like, you know, you turned around to her and just said, are you okay? Like, and not in like that, yeah. not in like a what the fuck is wrong with you kind of way, but like in a very, very sincere kind of like, you know, are you okay? And like, you know, and whether like, I mean, who knows, she would have just been like, you know, I'll fucking stab you. Or just like, it might have just, or it could have potentially just held out the mirror. It's just like, I'm really sorry I said that. Who knows? Like, it was like, or even that sort of interaction that you had at the station, you know, there was like that girl who just like, just cold went up to you and was like, what did you, you were just standing there and she just got in your face. Like,
I got off the train at Flinders Street and I was walking up towards the stairs and escalators and things that go up, and people were getting off the train.
Yep.
Like sort of horizontally across where I was walking vertically, and there was an older lady with one of those little push things with the bag. You know those things people take to the market?
Yep, from the 40s.
And she was walking really slowly. Yeah, those. And so I was like, okay, I just sort of stopped to let this lady slowly kind of go in front of me, and the lady behind me was like, full, like, posturing up to me and like, get out the fucking way, you... I think she said, like, I'll drop you, bitch, or something like that. Like, she just said she was just really...
And this is, like, within the first week of you getting back from, like, literally fighting in Thailand for years.
But I was dressed really cute and all of the things.
Good bait.
Good bait. And so is this the story worth telling for the thing?
Sure. It's like, because it's like, it's one of those ones, it's like, that's kind of like how it should go, where it's like, you know, someone does that, especially as someone who's like actually like physically capable of just, you know, of like say dispensing of that person when you probably shouldn't.
At that point in my life, I was far more than now, like as peak ready for an interaction like that as I would have been.
Mm.
I had it play out in my head of like, oh, how funny would it be if me in my like cute little dress and all of this thing just turn around and just KO'd her on the platform and like you'd never see it coming and it'd be so funny.
And everyone would turn around and start applauding, you know.
So I played out the little fantasy in my head, gosh, imagine.
Well, the trains start honking, like, you know,
in cartoon land, that's a very satisfying, like, if that happened in a movie, it's like, she showed them.
Yeah.
But then, of course, I played that little story out for, like, you know, 2 more seconds, and then it gets to the point where it's like, okay, let's say even that if I did manage to do that, then what? Then she knocks her head on the concrete. Then, like, there's this whole thing. And then I'm looking at her and then I'm feeling like, oh, God, what have I done?
Yep.
And then paramount. And I'm, like, and this is just assuming that it works and I don't get my ass beat because...
Who knows?
Like, I've been in control fights and you don't always win.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, expected things. Hmm. So it's, like, it's... It's actually, like, I thought I was more of a badass before I actually learned to do some things than after
yeah.
I learned to do things.
Yeah.
Because you see, you're like, yeah, I got clipped by that guy that threw those loopy shots and had no idea what he was doing, but I just didn't expect those weird shots. Or, yeah, you know, this. There's no predictability to it. There's predictability, but you start to realise there are a whole lot of other
There's
factors.
There's definitely this, like, sort of, like, this, you know, sort of valley of skill with, like, jiu-jitsu as well, where, like, you know, yeah, it's like you can, you know, as a blue belt, you can toy with, like, a lot of the white belts. When they've got a few months in and they start working within the rules and the framework and they start doing the things, it's like, ah, he's doing this, doing that. But those guys are, like, fresh off the street, like the ones that – and they're full, like piss and vinegar, like, who are just, like
yeah.
And they, like, they just fucking come at you and you're just like, whoa. And they're just, yeah, they're doing unpredictable things and they're just throwing everything at you, like – yeah, it's like super, super difficult. But then, like, once they
and
start,
that's in
like
a controlled environment, there's no concrete, there's no weapons, there's no. I've taken drugs, so I can't feel what you're doing to me. So it's like, do you know what I mean? There's like just so. In actuality, like, yes, I had more skills and was more trained and ready then than at any other point, but also. Still new, there's absolutely no guarantee. This was just a big fantasy that was playing in my head about, like, yeah, I turn around and I drop her and everyone's like, yeah, that's sick.
But
and
this
rah,
is
rah,
like,
rah, rah.
But these situations are like, you know, it's split second decision making. So, like,
yeah. This must have all happened in a few seconds.
Like, just a shot of adrenaline, just like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was a mega shot of adrenaline. And then I turned around to her and I just said, oh, I'm sorry you're having such a bad day. And I saw her just kind of
powers, you know, like
what to do with it?
Yeah.
And then I just walked up the steps and I could feel my arms were doing that funny thing they do
when
you get heaps of adrenaline. Mm. And then a few people came up to me on the steps and were like, oh, well done.
Yeah.
Like, that was really not cool what she did and blah, blah, blah. And part of me was like, well, thanks for all sort of stepping in when this girl was, you know, having a big go at me. But okay. Mm. But on the other hand, I was like, that felt far more deeply satisfying than, like, it felt, like, in the fantasy version in your head where you've got, like, yeah, here's my cool revenge fantasy where I get to, like, show my power. you know, in the fantasy version of that, you feel really big. But in the real life version of that, you're a fuck-up. Like, you've just
You lost control.
Your life, probably someone else's life.
Yep.
You've lost control. Yeah. That's right. Mm. Like, it's actually, there's nothing good going there. Whereas with that one, I kind of was like, yeah, this feels like, you know, I saw and I chose and, you know, I offered you mercy because I know, do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, off you go, little girl.
Yeah.
That felt good.
Did you see, the UFC guy, Anthony Smith, like that really, really scary looking guy, but he's actually very sweet, you know, he fought John Jones,
like half of them.
Yeah, true. He had like a home invasion situation recently.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Yeah. Like, and he was sort of saying how, like, you know, he, like, literally this guy was just in his house and apparently, like, he got woken up by his wife and she's like, I think someone's in the house. And he's just like, okay. Oh, and then he's sort of like, even just before he's even left he's about to leave the room, this guy in his house just starts screaming. Like, and he's just like, what the fuck? So he just goes out, sees this guy. And, you know, and obviously, you know, they tussle and everything. And eventually sort of like gets him down to the ground. He's controlling him on the ground, blah, 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 blah. You know, this bit of exchange. But he's saying, like, this guy, because, you know, Anthony Smith, he's like, I don't know. So, like, he's, you know, he'd probably be around, like, you know, 220 pounds. So, you know, what's that? It's like around 100, 105 kilos, something like that.
Yeah.
So, he's probably like around the same size as me, roughly, only just like, you know, way more muscle and all that sort of stuff, bigger frame. And he was saying that this guy couldn't have been more than, like, say, 155, 160 pounds. So considerably smaller. And he said he had a tremendously difficult time handling this guy as, like, a significantly larger trained mixed martial artist. He said, like, this guy was so strong and just very difficult to, to control, you know. And of course, like...
Well, part of what, I guess, makes or any of these martial arts or combat sports safe is that there are this many possibilities.
Yeah.
There are this many different attacks. There are these things to expect. It's like, there are really confined parameters. And also, the person wants to win, so there's that level of things are heightened, but it's not literally the same as some of the other things that are going on. I don't know. It's, I think...
I mean, luckily in that house, I mean, like it was just like it was like you're absolutely right. But I mean, even in that case, it was a lot closer because it was in his house. It was just one other guy. You know, luckily Anthony was like, you know, very smart about it. Was like keeping an eye on his hands, making sure he didn't just go into MMA mode. Like he was keeping an eye on his hands, make sure he wasn't reaching for anything, like doing all those sorts of things and all that kind of stuff. But otherwise, it's like the skill set is fairly applicable versus, say, the pub. And even in but you're still right, because it's like even in that situation, that's probably closer to the controlled setting, like a cage, compared to like, say, public space, where it's like there are other people around, you don't know who are his mates, there's things to grab. Like, you know, what, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. It was like things were way more tilted. Even things were just way more tilted in Anthony's favor. And it was still you know, very dangerous. Like, much more difficult situation. Whereas, like, you know, he fought John Jones for 25 minutes. Like,
But I think, like, you know, if you're going to fight John Jones, you've been thinking about fighting John Jones for
true.
You've thought about nothing else.
Do you know what I mean? You watch footage of him fighting.
Yeah, just woken up in the middle of the night to find him in your room.
Yeah.
Like, that's a whole other...
Yeah.
And I think that there was a guy that trained at one of the gyms I used to train at who'd done kickboxing back in the, quite a long time ago. And he'd gone out to celebrate winning... I can't even remember what title it was, but it was pretty good. And he'd gone out to celebrate and he got stabbed in the stomach that night. And that was it. Because I remember asking him, I was like, what's because then he was training a bunch of people. So what's the deal with this guy? Anyway, so yeah, that was his story. He was as tough as he was going to be, but someone still stabbed him in the internal organs. And
did he survive?
He survived, yeah. So he was there, he was training other people, but he wasn't fighting anymore and stuff. But it was a real, like, I think, even just hearing that story, but for real, even just what, like, when you actually spar with other people, you actually roll with other people, you realise that, well, there's, you know, even with those limited variables, you're not guaranteed anything. And... yeah, like, so sometimes people will say, like, oh, well, you mustn't worry going out at night because you know how to box. And I'm like, I'm not – first of all, I've lost, like, in boxing against people my own size and weight. Like, I'm not I'm not Mike Tyson, do you know what I mean? Like, but even if you are, no one's going to come up to you like, all right, guard up, ding, 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 we're fighting in this small area under these rules. Like, that's not – no one is trying to outpoint me.
Yeah, they're just going to wing at you from, like, nowhere.
I'm far more – yeah, and I'm far more aware of, you know, the difference that size makes in, you know, uncontrolled situations and those sorts of things. And, yeah, just it doesn't actually make me feel – I'm glad I have some skills, like I feel better having some than none, but by no means, except for my, like, fantasy land where I'm like, yeah, and then I showed them.
Yeah.
Does it actually make me feel like, cool, well, I could handle myself. Like, I don't have to worry about anyone.
No, my concern has only increased over time.
Yeah, 100%.
And to, like, and to what you were saying before about, like, you know, like, guard up and all that kind of stuff, you know, and, like, the unpredictability. Like, after I'd sort of done, you know, like started training, you know, with you, with boxing and everything, you know, because, like, at Jits we do, like, you know, some, like, self-defense based, you know, one, you know, situations that start standing up. And it was like, you know, so you have, like, a confrontation, like, kind of scenario, and it's like this kind of situation, you know, and you so you're setting up that kind of situation, and I'm like, And I'm like, oh, okay. And the sort of the stance he was kind of showing was like kind of more like a hands out like kind of thing. And yeah. You know, like, or just, you know, he was sort of doing that, but he wasn't really emphasizing on that. So when it kind of like when we sort of went to sort of pair off, yeah. I like put my hands up, you know, like a boxing guard kind of stance kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he's just like, don't do that, you know, because you are showing that you are going to fucking punch this person rather yeah. than, you yeah. know, defend yourself. And I'm like, shit, it's just like, there's just so much nuance to like the, how you present yourself physically in any of these situations.
Yeah.
Because,
yep.
you know, a trained person, like, you know, some mixed martial artists fight that way where they have like both their hands just pointing out like, oh, like a stop, you know, like a kind of yeah. kind of thing. And that is so much more like defensive, like, you know, especially if like if you're in that situation, you got both your hands out and, you know, ideally you'd be saying, let's not. But yeah, that term de-escalation, like that's, you hear that so much in like, yeah. particularly in like security circles and stuff like that. It's, that's probably a term that needs to be used more often, I think, you know. Yes. It's sort of, rather than like, you know, self-defense almost has the air of like how to win a fight.
Yeah.
Rather than so ending a situation. Or even like,
I
even talking.
In school. Sorry. No, in school, on. These people came to our school to do a self-defense course. Yep. Cool. So, all right, we learned this thing. And I went home and I was like, oh, Mum, you know, we learned this thing. And Mum was like, bullshit. And I was like, no. Like, if you hold my wrist. And she's like, all right, give me your wrist. So she held my wrist. I'm like, I'll show you this. And I'm like, oh, and my mum is a very strong woman. But I was like, oh, I actually can't get this to work. shit.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of thing of, well, like, well, yeah, she knew I was going to be trying to get away.
Mm.
When you learn a jiu-jitsu move, how many times do you have to drill it to be able to pull it off when you're expecting someone to do, oh, yeah, and then their leg goes here and that's when you do this, versus in some weird scuffle with things that you don't expect. There's some of the self-defense, yeah, and it's where it's the self-defense course that'll, like, teach you how to fight. Here's how you throw a good punch. Here's how you, like, palm them in the eyeball or whatever shit it is.
Mm.
It's good to feel like, yeah, you've got some kind of things, but to expect that you're going to do some, like, four-step drill rather than, yeah, that sort of de-escalation stuff seems... And then there's the one, like, you know, to get political here.
Sure.
But when I see some of these martial arts places doing self-defense for women and all of these things, a lot of them are geared towards guy comes up on the street and grabs you, and that does sometimes happen, but you are most at risk in your home with your romantic partner or a family member. I don't know if those tactics are the thing, and maybe some more of the education needs to be about how to access services and, you know, understanding warning signs of domestic violence and, you know, all of those sorts of things, because I don't think women are getting killed because they don't know how to throw a good punch or they don't know how, like, that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, I mean, if, you know, if a woman can and would just, you know, throw up an armbar when her partner strikes her, those situations wouldn't happen more than once, you know.
Right. And then... Yeah, that's not the thing. And we see, you know, there've been women MMA fighters and women police officers and women in the military that end up in, you know, domestic violence situations. It's not a matter of you just need to be
strong. Yeah, you lost that particular fight.
That's
keep
right.
Training.
That's right.
Keep training.
Keep training if you learn
You'll
this
get
one
it.
Trick. So I feel like it's almost a bit like, I'm sure it comes from a good place, and it is good for people to walk around feeling like, you know, having some level of confidence that you don't have no idea of things to do, but we're training, quote unquote, for these situations that are actually far less likely than when violence against us is most likely to happen, that a lot of those things are probably not that useful for, and it's maybe less... you know, and I don't think some karate guy should necessarily be the person that's talking to people about these things either. Mm. But the fact is, like, that's what we, and I guess, you know, having these stupid fantasies is part of that, of the idea of like, yeah, so I've got this problem and then I solve it by, you know, doing this thing. It's like, no, I've actually got like a really nuanced sort of social problem.
I mean,
a lot harder to solve.
And that could be like the way to look at it, like, you know, as... Look, this is a specific activity, you know, specific solution to a specific problem, and and in reality, you know, the benefits are sort of, you know, further, you know, stretch a lot further than just, okay, you have these tools that may or may not work, but, you know, you're getting lots of exercise and some confidence and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, maybe that could just be the best way to look at it, because because you're absolutely right, like the real problem is, you know, much further reaching than the ability to throw up triangles and all this stuff.
Like they're good skills to have by all means, but sometimes the way I see these things marketed, occasionally they'll pop up on my Facebook,
right? Because I'm not getting these ads, so
yeah, and I rarely do, but I'll see someone share something, or, you know, someone asked me, like, do you know anyone that could run a thing like that for our, you know, women's rowing club or whatever it was? And it's like, I feel like, I mean, like it is possible that those sort of random altercations will happen, and it is good to know how to deal with them, but also, more to de-escalate them if you're getting into like a fight at the pub. But yeah, I don't know.
But also, let's be real. It's like, look, I mean, you know, this could be like, you know, not really worth hearing from someone who's like, you know, 6'3", which I am. But it seems remarkably easy to not get in a fight. Remarkably easy. Like, maybe it's just, like I said, maybe it's because I'm just like sort of, you know, I just have that, you know, size and frame where it's just like, maybe not. But yeah, it's just they just seem to happen to the same sorts of people in the same sorts of places routinely. I don't know.
I'd be interested to hear people's experiences on that, because I've heard some people that are like the big guy that have been.
You do get that they do
found
get
that people have.
They do get targeted.
The coolest thing I ever saw, one of my exes would do this thing where if we were walking somewhere, or he was walking somewhere, and he'd see one of those things where you can see people are just kind of doing that weird sizing up kind of thing. He'd do this very sweet, good evening, gentlemen.
Yeah.
And it was so funny, because there's just no way.
It's very disarming.
Responding to that, you know.
Yeah. I wouldn't even do that, to be honest. Because that's enough to be like, fuck, what did you say, cunt? Like, it's, you know, it could very easily just become that by, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I just wouldn't, like, that's, you know, and that's part of my policy. Like, if I'm walking around the city or whatever, like, I'm loading out or something like that, I just do not look anyone in the eyes. Like, you know, I'm being very hyper aware of my surroundings, but just don't even look someone in the eyes, you know. Just don't give anyone a reason,
because,
you know, that could be enough for a lot of people.
Yeah,
you know?
Yep.
And I think, because, I mean, I think I had, like, I had a situation during high school where something like that happened, where it was one of those house parties that just got way out of control. It was, like, out on the street.
Yeah.
It was insane. And someone said something, and I thought they were just saying something, you know, and I thought that was addressing me. And I was like, oh, sorry. Like, I think I probably just said, oh, what? Like, thought it was talking to me. And they were just, what? And I'm like, sorry, what? And then, boom, they was like straight up, like arms down, chest out, walking at me. And I'm just like, this is like, you know, I was 15 or 16. I was just like, you know, a gelatinous, like, you know, video game nerd at the time. Like, it was just completely like, you know, whatever. And I mean, luckily, like, I mean, aside from the fact that I just had zero interest in, you know, because I was just like, this is like, I'm going to be like, you know, we're not like, you know, practicing pro wrestling moves with your mates. Like, this is like,
this is the
real deal. And I knew who the guy was too. Like, you know, when he came at me, like, he was someone who just notorious, not like just at high school, but like in the suburb. as being in very, very nasty circles. And I just looked over his shoulder and I just saw his mates like just sitting there. And it's like they're just waiting for it to go down. And of course, like everyone just started crowding around too. Like, you know, here we go. And it's just, yeah, gross. But, and luckily it just happened to be a thing where I was just like, you know, it's like, no. Like, you know, no trouble. Like nothing happened. You know, luckily, and somehow it was just one of those things where I just, you know, walked away and he didn't throw a punch. He didn't do anything. Nice. Yeah, I'm not really, it was, in hindsight, it's kind of weird. That, you know, because considering this guy's reputation, that he didn't just fucking do it. Like maybe he wanted, maybe he just wanted the fight. Like he actually wanted, you know.
Yeah.
And it was really weird. Like a few years later, I gave him a ride home from like the pub. Like he, like, you know, like he, I had a couple of mates who were like mutual friends of him, and you know, I was driving that night, and I was like gonna head home, and you know. And they're like, oh, can we give such lift home? And I'm like, I bet this cunt doesn't know who I am, you know. And sure enough, he jumped in the car. So, you know, he's like, oh, thanks, bloke, whatever. And I'm just like, yeah, like had absolutely no idea. But, you know, I guess if you're doing that kind of thing frequently enough, you know, you have no idea. Especially like, I mean, in
like, back- I remember that one lady at the train station.
Yeah.
Because that is not a regular occurrence for me.
Yeah, and it would have, I mean, for me, that was like,
that guy's.
I was just going to say, like, for me, like, back then, like, that was a, you know, nothing like that had ever happened to me before or since. And it was terrifying as well. Not just for, like, you know, this dude, like, coming at me, but just all these people around who were just waiting for me to get my head caved in. Like, you know, so that's obviously fairly significant. But for him, that would have just been like, you know, another weekend kind of thing. So, yeah. No shit he wouldn't recognize. And look, to be fair, between then and when that guy, I would have seen that guy at the pub like a few years later, I'd like lost 30 kilos. So, you know, I would have looked like, you know, the machinist by comparison. So, you know, he probably would, there would have been people who knew me who probably may not have recognized me. But regardless, it was just a very bizarre experience.
Yeah. You know,
so
I haven't had too many like that. I had one when we were 15. There were a bunch of us would go and hang out in, I think it was Edinburgh Gardens or Victoria Gardens, somewhere in the city. We'd go sit in the city. And I had this thing where, like, we're all sitting down. We were underage drinking as we did. And, yeah, sitting around. And I remember having this weird feeling. This is like the most wooey fit story I'll ever tell, because I don't believe in this stuff. And obviously I was probably picking up on some other things, but I remember having this feeling that I was like, I don't want to be drunk because I want to be able to be alert if something happens.
Yep.
And this is the thing we did all the time. But yeah, so we're sitting around and then I could see this whole, like a big group of guys coming over towards, and I just had this thing of, you know, when something's like, this doesn't belong. What is, like, why are there 20 people walking? And I could just see, and then they came over and they said to one of the people in our group, have you got a cigarette or something? And I can't remember if the person said yes or no. I just remember then they just started punching everybody.
Whoa.
And they were taking phones, and then someone said something about a gun, and I was just, there were these two like really little girls that we used to hang out with, and I just grabbed them and was just like, we gotta run.
Yep.
And we just ran, which was not very helpful, but also nothing good was happening. Like it was, this wasn't a fight. This was, they were like just punching down on
people
sitting on the ground.
Like, yeah, this is just assault.
It was just assault. And like with those sorts of things, I don't know that there is a de-escalation you can use, but I also don't know how useful, you know, oh, well, I'll just do my three-step thing. Like I think really the fastest thing that got everyone out of that was just like, here's my phone, here are my cigarettes. Like, and, you know, a few people lost their Nokia 51s or whatever they were called. Yeah, it was bad, but it was, and you know, maybe some people are around that sort of stuff more often. I guess I was lucky that I didn't grow up having to deal with that stuff on the regular. I had a few weird moments at train stations and those sorts of things, wasn't like a regular part of my life.
Do you hear have you ever had like many conversations? Like, I mean, I suppose, you know, I probably have, you know, more conversations with like older men and stuff who, they sort of like reminisce about the good old days of like, you know, having a blue at the pub, you know, where you sort of like, throw hands and, you know, shake hands and then go home, even though it's like that risk of like, you know, someone getting knocked out or losing teeth and hitting their head and dying is like, you know, that's still there. But, you know, but there is like this sense of like, you know, it's gotten like really bad. Like people, you know, like, people want to, you know, they just don't want to just have fisticuffs. It's like, because to me, it's like if two guys, you know, want to have a, like, they want to have a blue at the pub, and there's like this almost level of consent to it where it's like, you know, let's do this. It's like, well, well, as long as no one dies or has any permanent injuries or brain damage, like, it's like, you know, like maybe you guys should join a boxing club or something. That might be better, but, you know, go for it. But, you know, that's been like the one big spew about MMA is that it's kind of brought the ground and pound thing into the streets because, like, you know, it's like, because I think, and that could be it because, you know, back then, if you hit a guy and you knocked him down, it's just like, I've bested this person, I've won, I'm standing over them.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we've clearly established some sort of level of dominance here, which has satisified me. But that's not what a fight looks, that's not what a win in a fight looks like anymore. Except in a pub, there's not, you know, Herb Dean isn't going to come over and break it up. You know, like, you know, intelligent defense, you like, it's, you know, you know, you're not going to, you know, even if they say uncle, like, it's kind of brought that into the game. And it's like, and it's a weird thing. Like, I remember like a mate of mine would watch, before I started training, he would like watch like street fight videos on like, you know, on Instagram. And I'd be kind of like, thinking to myself, it's like, what are you watching that shit for? You know, it's just like, you know, that's fucked, whatever. You know, it's like weird voyeurism, but I kind of get it now just because I've got, I'm trying to think, a lot of the ones that I have are usually in like some sort of MMA-based kind of channel anyway. And it is, I think it's almost just like a helpful reminder. Like it's sort of, it is useful to see how these things play out, particularly ones like some will sort of be like a, like if, you know, some guy gets in a street fight, tries to like almost like pulls guard and like tries to triangle the dude and just gets stacked and fucking just belted with an inch of his life. It's like, it's just not how it works.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna, you know, like MMA, you can't kick a grounded opponent. So you can do your little Imanari roll
also,
and snatch their ankle.
Tap in a situation like that, like if you are so fucking mad and you really want to kill this person and they then tap, do you stop or do you just snap their arm? Like,
well, it depends on what you're dealing with, I guess.
I don't know.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, if, like, it depends on the situation, I guess. Like, I mean, like, obviously, like, for example, like, you know, if you know, if touch wood, I find myself in that situation, like, and this person is, and I'm on the ground with someone and they're like, you know, they're trying to like severely hurt me. It depends on the position. Like if they're, you know, if they're if they're a spaz and it's easy enough for me to like get on top of them and hold them there, then that's probably what I'm going to do. And, you know, assuming that it depends on the situation. Like, you know, if someone is around to like say call the police or, you know, you could call for help while you control this guy, then great. But if, you know, say if someone's, you know, bearing down on top of me and I'm sort of trying to avoid punches and I snatch their arm, I'm going to snap it. Like, cause like I can't.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
Cause I can't, cause yeah. Cause it's like, what am I going to do? Like if they're on top of me, they're raining punches on me and I'm in a position to get my feet between them and snatch their arm. It's like, well, you know,
if they did tap, the rules don't apply that they're like, all right, well done, mate. Afterwards.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Now you let go of me. I'm coming back.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I've still got one arm. Like you're probably going to,
goodwill there.
No. Yeah. Like you're probably going to have to like either, you know, take the other arm or somehow, you know, put them to sleep. Like, so that's, you know, and that's best case scenario. That's the best case scenario.
That's right. Like the real thing is you take someone down on concrete and they probably just, you know, get a brain aneurysm and in court and, you know, like it's all that scary shit.
And even even in that situation where that person's on top of you, you better hope someone saw it and can say, this person attacked this person, knocked them down, and this person's defending themselves.
Yeah.
Because if you go into court and you maybe got a couple of scratches on you and this other idiot has a broken arm, or whatever,
right,
it's just like, you better hope that like the court kind of looks at it and goes, yeah. Self-defense, off you go, champ.
Yeah.
You know.
none of these things happen in our, like, fantasy scenarios. I think about, you know, like that whole thing of like just two guys getting in a scrap at the pub, but then it's cool and one buys the other one a beer. Mm. And like, I never grew up with that stuff. And so hearing about that, like that sounds kind of fun because I like a bit of like rough and tumble and stupid.
Mm.
But then I also think like that's the fantasy land 100% from having not done that, because I've got, you know, I was talking to one of my friends recently who did grow up like that in the country, and there was always a big scrap at the pub and it was this. And he also had all these, like, funny stories about that time that a bunch of them went, like, drink driving and they slammed into a tree, but, like, they all got out and they laughed and they still went to the party. And they're wild stories, but how many people have stories like that or that just did, like, they just died? Like, how many of these, like, do these bad things happen more often now, or is this just this weird survivor's bias that everyone has about like, oh, it used to be like this, but, you know, oh yeah, there was that guy that, you know, never recovered from that stupid pub fight and, you know, he's in full-time care now.
Well, it's, you know, it's and perfectly analogous to like texting and driving. Like, you know, you're only, you're just like a lick of bad luck away from, you know, just a, you know, good old tussle at the pub to relaying your story from a jail cell.
I don't know. Gosh, this all took a weird turn, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, let's save the rest for another one. Unless there's like, can we?
I hope I don't come across as a big fighty dickhead. But
I feel like we sort of, you know. I feel like we've done like a fairly successful job of, you know, I mean, I don't know who's going to be listening to this, who's been just sitting there, like who was just about ready to walk out the door and knock someone out. You know, in fact, given our Corona conversation, that probably is happening. So if we were going to tie the whole thing together, it's like, you know, if you're ready to, if you're getting weird from being in isolation and you're ready to walk out the door and then knock someone out, I feel like this entire podcast.
Yeah. Before you snap.
Will serve as a cautionary tale. This. Yeah.
Yeah,
yes.
It seems cool in your imagination, but the cooler thing is to walk away.
Yeah. And if none of it was ever cool in your imagination, you're a better person than us.
100%. Oh, my gosh. And you probably didn't grow up on Van Damme movies, but, you know. Sure
in, which case no I, in which case, I pity you. Let's be real.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thanks for the chit-chat.
Thanks, Rob. Good chat.
Let's do it. If we're still stuck inside, let's do another. Thanks again for listening, people. Just one last reminder. If you like what you've heard and you find it useful, you can support by liking, subscribing, leaving reviews, following, sharing on social media. I also have a Patreon page where if you happen to feel like it, you can donate $1 a month just to help keep things afloat, which is over at patreon.com/robbrenz. If you like, you can head over to my website, rob-brenz.com, if you want to get in touch or just want some more info. And while you're there, you can subscribe to my monthly newsletter, which contains some additional content, as well as my Lunchtime Lick series for all the drummers out there. See you soon.